Good morning. We open up the new Masechta. We're starting Nazir this morning. Obviously, it's Daf Beis. And before we start with the Mishnah and the Gemara, let's just give a brief introduction to our Masechta. So our Masechta seems to be a companion to Nedarim. In fact, the Gemara is going to make pretty much that point, that we just finished Masechta Nedarim. And so over here, Nazir is basically a Nedar. In fact, the topics they're going to be discussing today, that's going to sound all familiar because we discussed most of these topics in Nedarim, all these topics in Nedarim. Okay, so terminology like yad and kinuyim, and an assortment of how to make a neder. So that is all going to be coming up right in today's daf in the daf number one. It's going to feel a little bit like deja vu today's daf, and it should because in the beginning of Nedarim, so we had exactly these kinds of discussions because nazir basically is a form of a neder. The way you take upon yourself a neder, so the same thing with a nazir. Okay. So you should be finding, we should all be finding familiarity within the first couple of minutes of today's daf. So that in that part, it's good. The Gemara is going to be asking the basic question of, okay, Nazir has nothing to do with Seder Nashim. In fact, the Seder Nashim is primarily a Seder dedicated to women. Consider the Masechtas that we've been learning up until now. We learned Yevamos, we learned Ksuvos. And then what happened is then we took a left-hand turn. Then we started with Nedarim, and now we're learning Nazir. Both of those Masechtas don't have anything to do with women, and meanwhile, it's tucked away in Seder Nashim. Okay. The Gemara is going to ask that question, so at this point in time, I could just highlight that now. And in a few minutes from now, the Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to answer, like, why are we learning Masechta Nazir here in Seder Nashim? It seems like it doesn't belong. So hold that thought. We're going to get back to that. Okay, in terms of the Nazir, okay, things we all know. But being that this is now the opening to the Masechta, so we're going to remind all of us. So when it comes to the Nazir, so there is it's a balance. It's a fair balance between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Meaning that unlike Nedarim, there is a parsha in the Torah for Nedarim, but very limited, as we pointed out when we learned Masechta Nedarim. And that is that the parsha of Nedarim really focusing on a woman who is either married or who has a father. I mean, every woman has a father, but a woman who is married and has a father, and the ability of either the husband or the father to be made for Nedarim. That really is the primary focus of the Psukim in the Torah as it relates to Nedarim. But in other words, the Torah itself doesn't speak much about Nedarim. It doesn't breathe a word about Hataras Nedarim. And so most of Nedarim is Torah Shebaalpeh. So over here, when it comes to Nazir, so it's Torah Shebaalpeh and it's Torah Shebichtav. We have a parsha, the Torah, dedicated to Nazir. In fact, it's a pretty long parsha. It's in the beginning of Parshas Naso, not in the very beginning, but in the beginning of Parshas Naso. So you have an entire parsha dedicated to Nazir. It's 21 psukim. So there are 21 psukim that outline in detail exactly what is a Nazir, how do you, what prohibitions are there when you're a Nazir, and how do you conclude your Nazirus. Okay. So over here, when we're learning Masechta Nazir, so it is going to be a blend of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, much more so than we did back in Nedarim. And finally, one more point, and then we'll start the Masechta. And that what is a Nazir? So this we all know. And that is a Nazir basically is going to be Porish. He is going to have certain degrees of abstinence and separation from the world. In other words, he wants to be a little bit more detached from the world. Right now, he feels that his connection to the world is too strong, and he wants detachment from the world. And so, in doing so, a person can become a Nazir. We already saw back in Masechta Nedarim, good or bad, to become a Nazir. So that is a weighty issue, and it's a machlokus, whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing. In other words, shouldn't a person just simply be able to live in the world, be connected to the world, and still yet be spiritual? The answer is yes, and this person feels that he can't. In other words, he needs more detachment from the physical world. So whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing to become a Nazir, it's a machlokus tanaim. It also is a machlokus rishonim. We went over this back in Nedarim. I feel like it's going to come up again over here. I don't want to belabor the point right now. These are all just words of introduction before we start the Masechta and just the basics. In other words, when you're a Nazir, so what does that mean? Abstention from getting a haircut, coming into contact with a mace, and finally, of course, no grapes or grape products, including wine. Okay, and in fact, probably of those three, which one really typifies, meaning all of them are Isurim, absolutely Isurim, but which one really typifies a Nazir? And that's going to be the drinking of wine. In fact, the impetus of a person becoming a Nazir is because he saw Sota. We're going to see this in just a minute from now. He saw Sota, and he realized what got the Sota to the point of committing adultery. So wine was pretty much the impetus in terms of her becoming a Sota. So therefore, it's an abstention from wine. So wine really typifies this, the Nazir, but at the same time, however, the two other Yisurim as well. And finally, just in the last point of introduction, and that's going to be conclusion of a Nazir. How does one conclude becoming a Nazir? Most of the time, a Nazir has a term, right? 30-day term, but it doesn't have to be 30 days. It could be longer, it could be a year, it could be 7 years. Later in this Masech that we're going to be talking about, Hiloni Amaka, who became a Nazira for 7 years. It could be as long as you want it to be. It could also be a lifetime. Nazir could also be Nazir Shimsha. Again, that's a lot of information already, and we're going to see all this later in the Masechta. But it can be a certain amount of time, and then the conclusion of the Nazirus is going to be the bringing of Karbanos. There are three Karbanos that are brought, and later in the Masechta, we're going to be talking about all the Karbanos that are brought by Nazir and his conclusion. Right? There's an entire Seder of Karbanos, and a lot of details regarding the Karbanos that's coming up later. Okay, so a Nazir is basically a Neder, with it coming three different Isurim once you become a Nazir, and the conclusion of Nazirus is going to be three Karbanos that are brought at the end. Okay, that is Al Regel Achas, just a very brief introduction to the Masechta, and let's get underway. The Mishnah opens up, Kol Kinuyim Nazirus Ken Nazirus. I'm sorry, one more point, and then we'll start with the Mishnah and the Gemara, and that's going to be, right, who are we learning over here in the Masechta in terms of Perushim? Okay, so happens to be an interesting topic, but the Rashi. Rashi, what looks to be like Rashi over here on the Masechta, most probably is not Rashi. Okay, this Masechta, like Nedarim, definitely has not been as combed over and edited as the other Masechtas in Shas. Right? All the other Masechtas in Shas have been learned extensively and combed over and really polished. And our Masechta over here, Not to the same degree. Now, we already experienced this back in Adarim, and so over here in Nazir, it's going to be very similar in that there are going to be a lot of editing and a lot of notations on the side of the Gemara in terms of what the Girsa is. In today's daf alone, Tosos already, in other words, you'll see in just a moment, we're not going to go through the Tososim together, but in preparation of the daf, I went through the Tososim. So Tosos over here notes that there are multiple Girsos to the Gemara. So again, like we had in Adarim, but in here in Nazir as well. So it has not been as learnt extensively over the years as the other Masechtas. Okay, and where's Rashi? So even though it looks like Rashi, most probably the interior parish on our Masechta is not Rashi. So on a small note in the very beginning, so attribution is given, credit is given to the son-in-law of Rashi, the Rivan. So in other words, for whatever reason, Rashi, whatever, I can only speculate in terms of what happened to Rashi's commentary to Nazir. He wrote it, he didn't finish it, he didn't fully edit it. Whatever the case is, in other words, it's probably not Rashi, so it's probably an alternative Rishon, specifically an Ashkenaz Rishon, who took the place of Rashi. Now again, could be that it's the son-in-law of Rashi, possibly. But anyway, when learning Nazir, so typically it's not, in other words, people obviously learn it. In other words, it's a Rishon, but primarily what's learned, Tosos is learned. If you want a much shorter version of Tosos, you want to learn the Masechta, and you want to go through all the Tososim, so what you can do is you can do the Rush. Meaning on the Daf itself, you're going to see what's called the Perish HaRush. So the Perish HaRush, Rush is one of the last of the of the Balei HaTosos, right? He was a Talmud of Rav Meir of Rottenburg, and so basically the last of the generation of the quote unquote Ashkenazic Rishonim, and so he over here wrote a synopsis of Tosos. So over here, if you want a concise view of Tosos, so you can see the Rush over here who gives a concise view. Okay, I'm not taking upon myself. I'm going to be doing every Tosos in the Masechta. But so far I'm good, at least for today's daf. Anyway, okay, all that's by way of introduction, and let's go. Let's get underway, and we're going to be beginning with the Mishnah. So, Kol Kinu Nazirus Ken Nazirus. So over here, our Masechta opens up. We opened up with the Mishnah on the top of the Beis Amud Aleph, and that is Kinuyim. So when it comes to Akinu, Kinezirus is Kinezirus. So if you already learned Seder Nedarim, I'm sorry, Masechta Nedarim, so you already know what's Akinu. Akinu is basically a replacement word, a substitute word over that of the word Nazir, meaning the Lashon HaTorah, of course, is Nazir, and if you use an acceptable substitute word, so that'll work as well in terms of accepting upon yourself to become a Nazir. Ha'omer Ehei, Harei Zeh Nazir. Now, let's say you say the word Ehei, I will be. So you now become a Nazir. Now, over here, the example that's given in the Mishnah is what's called a Yad. Now, all these terms should be familiar, especially after Masechta Nedarim. What is a Yad? A Yad is a partial sentence. So instead of saying the full sentence, you say a partial sentence. As long as there's enough information in the partial sentence where you understand what the person meant, he's going to become a Nazir. So over here, he says, Ehei, I will be. So over here, the I will be, so we can now fill it in, I will be a Nazir. Now, that's a lot to fill in over there, and the Gemara is going to note that. The Gemara is going to wonder, how in the world do we get from the word Ehei, I will be, to I will be a Nazir? Right, the sentence could have ended so many other different ways. And if you're hopefully following me well over here, you're also going to be wondering to yourself, why in the world did the Mishnah open up with telling us, here are kinuyim, and now I'm going to give you an example of a yad. Well, what just happened over there in the Mishnah? The Gemara is going to ask exactly that question. And hopefully, again, all this should sound familiar because the opening of Nedarim opened up exactly the same way. Oh, I'm continuing in the Mishnah. Ehei na'eh nazir. So I'm going to be na'eh, I'm going to be beautiful. So that individual is going to be a nazir. Now, I'm sorry. What I should have done is I should have put a period after the word na'eh. Oh, hey, na'eh, we'll be beautiful. Okay. And that individual now is just making a yad that will transform him to becoming a nazir. And again, how do we get from being beautiful to being a nazir? Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to ask exactly that question as well. Now, nazir. Nazik, nazir, pazir, chareza, nazir. Now the Mishnah launches into examples of what are kinuyim, meaning what is acceptable substitute languages that gets us to him accepting upon himself to be a nazir. So if he uses terminology of nazik, or Naziach, or Paziach, those are all acceptable kinuyim. Hareini Kazeh, Hareini Misalsel, Hareini Michalkel, Hare Alai Lishaleach Pera, Hare Zenazir. If he says, I'm going to be like this, I'm going to be twirling my hair, I'm right, another language of twirling your hair. So Hare Alai Lishaleach Pera, I'm going to be growing out my hair. All these expressions are acceptable ways of saying and accepting upon himself that he's going to be a Nazir. Hare alai tziporim. What if the person accepts upon himself to bring birds? Rav Meir omer nazir, v'chachamim omrim eino nazir. Machlokas tanaim, exactly whether or not that is an acceptable acceptance of becoming a Nazir. And obviously we're going to wait till we get to the Gemara in order to discuss exactly what that last point in the Mishnah is and what is a machlokas tanaim. Okay, there is so much to discuss over here. Let's get our bearings. Okay, before we open up with the Gemara's discussion, what we got introduced to in our Mishnah are Yados and Kinuyim. Okay, hopefully you remember, back in Adurim. So a Yad is a partial sentence. As long as a partial sentence is enough information where we could basically finish a sentence for him, so that is an acceptable way to accept a Nazir. Accept Nedarim and our Masechta to become a Nazir, which again is the form of a Neder. And Kinuyim, so that's substitute language. So Tosfos over here reminds us of the Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim and Daf Yud raises the following. When we say that we have Kinuyim, this substitute language, what is that? What is that a function of? So the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Yud, Tosfos over here cites it, and that is Machlokas HaMarayim. How exactly Kinuy works. So according to Rav Yochanan, what is a Kinuy? A Kinuy is Lashon Umos. In other words, basically, it's Nazir in a different language, right? How do we say Nazir in English? The answer, of course, is it's the same. Nazir in English is Nazir, right? Nazirite, something along those lines. But if the word Nazir, apparently, it was used in other languages as well. And what our Mishnah is doing is, the Mishnah is just simply giving us an example of how to say Nazir in other languages. According to Rav Yochanan, but it doesn't matter that you're not using Hebrew. In other words, as long as you're using the word Nazir in another language, so it works. And then Tosfos wonders and Tosfos discusses why does our Mishnah only give us three different examples, meaning if all Kinuyim are just simply other languages, well, how many other languages are there? So we have a tradition that there are 70 other languages. There could be 70 examples being given in our Mishnah. Why specifically these three? Okay, see Tosos, who makes a suggestion in terms of why that should be. But in terms of the other side of what is a kinui, we have, of course, the opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that a kinui is Lashon Shebadu Chachamim. What does that mean? Meaning that it's manufactured language. The Chachamim actually made up language. So instead of saying the word Nazir, you're going to be saying a substitute. You'll be saying either Nazik, Naziach, and Paziach, any of these substitute terms, but it's not another language. It's actual language manufactured by the Chachamim. Why did the Chachamim manufacture such language? So Tosfos over here reminds us of what we learned in the Gemara Nedarim, because if, in fact, we left it as it is, so a person may say Karban LaHashem, and instead of saying Karban LaHashem, we'll say LaHashem Karban, and what may end up happening is we'll say the word LaHashem. He'll then not say the word Karban, and the reason why a person is saying such a thing is because that's a Lashon of the Pasuk, and people are all familiar with the Lashon of Sukkim, and he may end up saying Shem HaShamayim Levatala. So the Chachamim want to avoid that. To avoid that, so they basically manufactured language so that people will not say the words Karban LaHashem. Because if you say Karban, you'll say the word LaHashem. But if I say some sort of manufactured language, like say, for example, Konam, so then you're not going to say Shem Shamayim Levatala. That is the opinion of Reish Lakish, so it's manufactured language. Remember the Ron back in Adarim? Manufactured language, how does that work? Meaning if I'm not using a word that's actually a word, but it's some sort of language made up by the Chachamim, how in the world could that represent a neder min Torah? And the Ron back in Adarim said it's very simple. Meaning, what is language? Language is just simply communication between you and I, which is understood. Whether the word is quote-unquote real, whether it's not real, doesn't matter. In other words, as long as we have language now that's used, that you understand what I'm saying, so that will come in the form of language, right? It was a very, very philosophical Ron in terms of the function of language. Anyway, but the Ron says that back in Adarim, even though it's manufactured language, once we have an understanding of what that means, it will now serve as a viable way of accepting upon yourself a neder. So the way the Ron presented it back in Adarim, whether you go with Reish Lakish or whether you go with Rav Yochanan, it doesn't matter. You use a kinui, it operates and it works on a Torah level. If you want a really interesting position over here in our Gemara, so at the end of the long Tosus of Nazir, so he quotes the opinion of Rav Yechiel, one of the Balei HaTosos, and according to him, there actually is going to be a difference whether or not a kinui operates because it is just simply another language, or it's manufactured language. And he writes at the end over here, right, just so interesting. He writes that the appears to Reish Lakish lavli in Karban Kamar, Elon Yamakus, the Laki Yamavar al Nazir So Shekibo Baloshan Shebadu Chachamim. So there is an opinion, Rav Yechiel, who says that if I use manufactured language, you're not becoming a Nazir min HaTorah. Okay. It's certainly interesting. It definitely, the Ron back in Adarim did not accept this, but anyway, it's certainly an interesting position that there will be a practical difference between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan and how a kinui works. Anyway, let's go back. Let's reset. So far what we learned in our Masechta is, how do you accept upon yourself to become a Nazir? Well, since a Nazir basically is a form of a Neder, you can accept yourself upon yourself to become a Nazir by either full articulation, meaning, of course, that goes without saying. You could just make a full sentence with without being cryptic or without using another language. So you could use full articulation. Alternatively, you could either use a yad or a kinui. Yad, partial sentence. Kinui, some sort of substitute language. Good. So with that stated, so the Gemara opens up with a simple question. Michdi, Tana B'Seder Nashem Kai, my time at Tani Nazir. So why is it that we are over here learning Nazir in Seder Nashim? This is a macro question of the Gemara, meaning in Seder Nashim, it seems like Nazir simply doesn't belong. So Tana Akrakai. So the Gemara says like this. Really, it's based on the Pasuk. Vayayim lo simta chen be'inav, ki imatza ba ervas davar, v'hachi kamar, migarim la la'avera yayin. So over here, we're going to go over the cause of divorce, right? Vayayim lo simta chen be'inav, that's a Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze. There, the Torah describes what happens when a man divorces his wife, because lo simtza chen be'inav, Right? Why? Why did she? Why wasn't she favorable? Ki matzaba davar erva, because davar erva. Now there are numerous interpretations at the end of the Gemara and getting what exactly that means. But for our purposes over here, we're going to understand just simply that she was mezana. She committed adultery. What was the cause of the adultery? So a number of things. Obviously, it's complicated. But one of the main causes of adultery is wine. So yayin v'kamer kol haro sota b'kil kula yazir etzmamin ayin. So when you see a sota who's mekalkel, so you see a woman who committed adultery, you know wine was the cause, one of the causes, one of the main causes, and so therefore what should be your reaction? Yazir etzmamin ayin. So you should become a nazir. Okay. So to the question of what is it doing over here in our mesechta? So the Gemara's answer is that wine is a cause of adultery. Adultery is accounts for multiple mesechtas in Seder Nashim. It accounts for Gittin. In other words, Kimasa by Ervas Davar. It accounts also for Mesechta Sota as well. And so once we have Gittin and once we have Sota, so also Nazir as well. Okay. Tosos points out over here that the question doesn't answer all the details, meaning think of the order of the Mesechtas. The order of the Mesechtas are, first it's Nedarim. Really, first is Yevamos. Then it's Ksuvos. Then it was Nedarim. Now it's Nazir. So what our Gemara isn't really addressing is why specifically in that order. Meaning our Gemara is really asking a super macro question of what is Nazir doing over here in Seder Nashim? Oh, by the way, right, an important detail that Tosfos points out over here. If it doesn't belong in Seder Nashim, where does it belong? Meaning, you only have six choices to choose from. So give me a Masechta that it actually belongs in. So Tosfos says, of all the Sedarim and Shas, do you know where it principally belongs in? Seder Kachim. It actually belongs in the Masechtas and the Seder that deals with Karbanos for a very simple reason. Because as we're going to see in our Masechta, a good part of Nazir is the conclusion of Nazir, which means that you're going to be bringing three karbanos. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention this in the introduction. Meaning if a Nazir in the middle of his Nazirus becomes Tameh, so he needs to restart his Nazirus. Restarting his Nazirus also requires karbanos as well. Also happens to be three karbanos. It's a different complement of karbanos that are brought. But anyway, karbanos have much to do with a Nazir. So if it's not here in Seder Nashim, it really belongs in Seder Kachim. So writes Tosfos. And that's what the Gemara is asking over here on the macro level, meaning it should be in Seder Kachim. And meanwhile, it's over here tucked away in Seder Nashim. Why should that be? Good. And the Gemara gave an answer. But what the Gemara is not explaining, and Tosfos points this out over here, is why specifically in the order that we have presented of Ksuvos, Nedarim, and then Nazir, and then Sota. So why specifically in that order? So see Tosfos over here for more details in terms of why specifically in the order that we find in Seder Nashim. But our Gemara's question was a much more macro question. All right, we continue. Pasach b'kinoi mefarish yados. So over here, all of us should be experiencing total deja vu, as the Gemara over here is asking the same exact question that we asked in the beginning of Nedarim. Look at the header of our Mishnah. The header of our Mishnah is called Kinuyei Nazirus Kenazirus. Meaning, what am I going to teach you about? Kinuyim. And then immediately, what were the examples that are given? Yados. Yadayim. The handles, the partial sentences. So what just happened in the Mishnah over here? Amar Rav Vitema Kedi Chazur Mechzura V'achi Ketani. So either Rav explains or Kedi. Kedi is either the name of another Amora. Alternatively, Kedi is just simply an anonymous Amora. Either way. Kol Kinuyim Nezeros Kenezeros V'yados Nezeros Kenezeros. The Elohein Yados. So really what belongs in our Mishnah now is not one header, but actually two headers. There should be first the headline of Kol Kinui Nazirus Kenazirus, like we actually have in our Mishnah. And then there should be a secondary headline in our Mishnah of Kol Yados Nazirus Kenazirus. Good. So there should be two headers in our Mishnah. And Aomer Ehe Areze Nazir. Good. And then examples that are given are examples of Yados. So really, first and foremost, is that we're missing. Okay. And again, when the Gemara says we're missing, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean that we're actually missing it as part of our text and it needs to be edited? It just happens to be that once the Mishnahs were accepted, codified, we simply don't want to tamper with the Mishnahs at all. But really, our Mishnah requires an actual editing. That's one way to say it. But the Gra When I say the Gra says, meaning the Talmidim quote the Gra as saying that no. In other words, even as the Gemara is saying that our Mishnah requires an edit, it doesn't mean that we're actually editing the Mishnah. It just simply means every time you read the Mishnah, here's how you understand the Mishnah. And that is that there are two headers, one that's explicit and the other one you got to read in. Right? Kol Kinui Nazirus Kinaziros, that's one header. The second header is called Yados Nazirim Kinaziros, that's the second header. And then the Mishnah gives examples, and it gives examples of Yad. Okay, good. V'lifrosh Kinui Bereisha. So, the Gemara now is going to go over the same exact discussion we had in the beginning of Nedarim, and that is, let's go over sequencing. What headers do we have in our Mishnah? Two headers now. Kinuyim and Yados. And then, what does the Mishnah go on to explain? Yados. So, we went A, B, in terms of heading, and then in terms of examples, B, A. So, the Gemara now wants to know, I don't understand. Meaning, why don't we go A, B, A, B? Give me the header of Kinuyim, the header of Yados, examples of Kinuyim, and examples of Yados. So, why does the Mishnah format in A, B, B, A? Okay. V'lifrosh kinu b'reisha, tanam e'u desalku mefarsh b'reisha, kitnanan. Okay. So the Gemara says, I'm not going to give you one. I'm going to give you three different examples in Shas. It happens to be, by the way, that all three examples are found in Masech to Shabbos. Three prakim that open up with A, B, B, A. Okay, and I'm not going to go through them in detail right now. Anyway, but just rest assured that there are three different examples where the Mishnayos opened up with A, B, B, A. So the Gemara says, V'atanam behema yotza, uvama ina yotza, mefarash yotze gamal bereshe. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm happy you gave me examples of A, B, B, A. I'm going to give you examples of A, B, A, B. So over here, another parak in Shabbos. V'amem behema yotza, v'amem ina yotza, your animal can go out with wearing certain things. An animal cannot go out wearing certain things. Okay, and without going into the details over here about the shvisas behemto, and your animal can't work on Shabbos, and your animal can't carry on Shabbos. Anyway, what we need to know right now is that the format of the Mishnahs over there are A, B, A, B. Umefarish yotzei gamal bereisha. Yesh nochlin manchilim nochlin v'lo manchilim manchilim v'lo nochlin. Lo nochlin v'lo manchilim. So, and another Mishnah, Baba Basra, regarding inheritance, Yerusha. And there are those that are nochel umanchel, those that inherit and bequeath, those that inherit but do not bequeath. And umefar shelo nochel umanchel and breisha. So over there, another example of A, B, A, B. So ela l'olam tinihachi v'tinihachi. So the Gemara says, okay, so there is no standard format for Mishnayos. Sometimes Mishnayos go A, B, B, A. Sometimes Mishnayos go A, B, A, B. And there's not a standard format. Now, if I remember correctly, I hope I'm saying this correctly. Okay, if I remember correctly, the Gemara in Nedarim basically got us to here, and that was it. Meaning, there's just simply no standard format. Our Gemara over here, Nazir, gives us a little bit of a bonus. Meaning, okay, there's no standard format. But still, let's try to understand a little bit better. Why do we go sometimes A, B, B, A, and sometimes we go A, B, A, B? Ela hasam di isuri de nafshehu, mefarish isuri de nafshe bereisha. Gabe behema di isuri, I di behema hu de asi mefarish eter bereisha. So the Gemara says like this. Well, look, in Masechta Shabbos, I'll try to explain it to you. It goes like this. In the parakim that go A, B, B, A, so A is the heter, B is the Isser, and then let me give you examples of the Isser. Those are all dealing with topics that affect you directly, you personally. So that means to say that Isser Shabbos, what you can and cannot wear. So over there we're talking about a personal Isser, so it's literally personal. And so therefore, and we're talking about Isser Shabbos. Therefore, we're going to get to the Isurim because they are much more severe. They're much more serious. On the other hand, when it comes to your animals are less severe. It's still, parenthetically, it's still an Isur Daraisa, meaning your animals cannot work on Shabbos. But it is not the same degree. It's not the same level as Isur as you violating the Shabbos. So over there, we could relax a little bit, so to say. So we're going to go over AB, what your animal can wear, what your animal cannot wear. But because we're not talking about you, we're talking about your animal. So we'll give you an example of what your animal is allowed to wear. Meaning, we'll go over the heterim first. And we're on the top now of Beis Amud Beis. So, and Bereisha Gabi Yesh Nochlim. So, sorry, that was the end of the sentence. Mefarish Heter Bereisha. Gabi Yesh Nochlim, we're on the top now of the Amud Beis. Now, as it relates to Yesh Nochlim, that's the Perkin Baba Basra. So, Nami, Mefarish Iker Nachla Bereisha. Over there, it's not Issa Veheter over there, meaning we're talking about probate, we're talking about inheritance. So over there, what do we want to discuss first? Meaning, after going through all the headers, so this can inherit and bequeath. This is going to inherit but not bequeath. V'chule, v'chule. But in other words, over there, what examples do we want to give? We want to give the example of principal examples of Yerusha, where not only are you stand to inherit, but you also stand to bequeath and to give over to the next generation. Okay. Which is the classic example of Yerusha. So, El Ahacha, so the Gemara says, okay, so now that we have attempted to explain, not only attempted, but successfully explained, why is it that sometimes the format is ABBA, sometimes the format is ABAB. Now we head back to our Mishnah over here. So what do we have? We have as a header, first Kinuyim, then Yados, and then the examples that we give are Yados. So what was that? That was ABBA. But over here, there doesn't seem to be anything compelling that would get us from to get us from ABBA as opposed to ABAB. So the Gemara says, okay, Elahacha, but over here, Lifrushe Kinui Bereisha. So now, if there's nothing compelling, so then what should be the default format? ABAB. Okay. So over here, but it didn't go ABAB. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Elahainu Taima Yados Hol V'yasin Le Midrasha Chaviv Le. So this we saw back in Nedarim, but now we get to hear it again in the beginning of Masechta Nazir, and that is that when it comes to Yados, how do we know about Yados? It's a drasha, right? That we darshan out from Psukim, and since we darshan out from Psukim, Chavivilei, right? The fact that drashas are more beloved to Chazal, meaning, obviously, if you have a Beferish Pasuk, obviously, you know, we can't assign a value to that. That is, you know, its value is limitless, but if we have, so to say, a more connection to a halacha, and the halacha is learned via drasha, so it speaks more to the chacham. Meaning, because the Torah Shebaal Peh is not only a part, a chelik of Torah, but on top of that also, it's basically how we extract information from the Torah Shebichsav. And so it is more, Chazal are more connected to it. And so therefore, if I have a choice of Yad and Kinui, and which one are we going to do first? So then we're going to do Yad first because Yad is derived via Drasha, and therefore it's more beloved to the Chachamim. V'liftach bum b'reisha, so Tana kimascha b'maschal b'ikar karban, ulunyan perusha mefarash Yadus b'reisha. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that's true, So why does the Mishnah open up with Kinui? Meaning, so if we really like Yad because it is a drasha and we like drashas more, so then why do we go Yados? Why do we go from Kinui to Yad and then give examples of Yad? Why don't we just simply give, as far as the header is concerned, first Yad and then Kinui? And then we could just simply go ahead and explain the Yados. Meaning, as a header, why doesn't Yad come before Kinui? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. And that is because as far as which one is quote unquote more primary in terms of a header, so Kinui is more primary. Why? Because it's a term that actually describes the neder. Meaning, what's Yados? Yados are partial sentences. But as a partial sentence, you're not actually articulating. You're just simply saying something, and what we could do is we can fill in the rest of the sentence. But when it comes to Kinui, Kinui is an actual articulation. It just happens to be that it's not the primary word, but it really is full articulation. So that's why the Kinuiim come first in terms of the headers. Okay, so a really technical discussion that we just had regarding the format of the Mishnah, first Kinui and then Yad in terms of heading, And then examples are yad and then kinui. Why should that be? So the Gemara just ran us through. Okay, one more big topic for today. And that's going to be yadayim she'ino mochichos. Okay, so here once again, hopefully I'm going to trigger a memory that we did back in Adarim. And that's going to be that when we say a yad, what is an incomplete sentence? What's an acceptable incomplete sentence? And what is an unacceptable incomplete sentence? So basically, let's go over incomplete sentences. Okay, I'm going to take us all back to our days when we were in school and we had English and the teacher wrote a comment, incomplete sentence. Okay, good. So and points will get deducted. So it happens to be that it's good for us. We're not deducting points over here. All we want to know is what's an acceptable incomplete sentence. The answer is going to be, it depends. It depends on how incomplete a sentence it is. So, let's start off nice and easy. If it's so incomplete that mamish, it has no meaning to it whatsoever. You say something that just simply does not have enough words. Or forget the fact that it's not a complete sentence, but it has no meaning to it whatsoever. So that's not a yad. Meaning, you and I can call it a yad, but it's yad. It's absolutely zero. Good. Then we have a yad hamochiach, meaning it's an incomplete sentence, but you can ask anybody how to finish it, and everybody will know how to finish that sentence. So that's what's called a yad mochiach, right? It's an incomplete sentence, but and anybody and everybody can complete it. And then finally, there's this middle category of a yad she'ein mochiach. So that means to say that it is a partial sentence. Some people can complete it, some people cannot complete it. What do we say regarding a yad she'ein mochiach? So what we say is, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas whether or not that will serve as a yad or will not serve as a yad. Again, hopefully back in Nadarim, you remember, we discussed this at length. Over here in Nazir, we're going to discuss it, just not at length. Okay. So, what do we learn in the Mishnah? Ha'omer ehei, harei ze nazir. So what do you say? I will be, dot, dot, dot. That, in our Mishnah, is the first example of a yad. What kind of yad is that? Well, I'd venture to say, if I didn't know any better, I'd venture to say, hey, I will be, dot, dot, dot. I'd say that's nothing, absolutely nothing. So what we're going to learn together is that in of itself can't be. Meaning just to say the word hey by itself, with no context, no way could serve as a yad for a nazir, meaning that is a totally incomplete sentence. That's going to be like the first example that I gave, where nobody will be able to complete the sentence. So, Dilma Ehei Betan is Kamar. In fact, the Gemara says, when you say, hey, I will be, how in the world do we know that you're talking about Nazir? Could it not be that the person wants to be, let's say, accept upon himself not to eat? In other words, he's accepting a fast. Meaning it could really be anything. So the Gemara says like this, Amr Shmuel Kegon Shayin Nazir Ovelofanav. So Shmuel says that over here, do you know when a hay works? It works, and it only works under the following circumstance. A nazir walks in front of you. You see the nazir walking in front of you. And then you make the declarative statement of, I want to be. So now you take the declarative statement, couple it together with the context of, there's a nazir walking in front of you, and obviously you're noticing the nazir walking in front of you. Now you take those two pieces together, we can now complete the sentence. Good. Shmuel says, then and only then does the word ehei result in him becoming a nazir. So the Gemara says, Dom ehei betan is kam. I'm sorry. I'm a Shmuel kagon shayya nazir over lefanav. Leim akasav shmuel yadayim shem ochichas lo avya yadayim. So the Gemara says like this. Okay. So where does that take us now? So now we have given a lot more context. Ehei plus a nazir walking in front of you. Now, how do we put that categorically? So is that a yad shei mochiach or is that a yad hamochiach? Sounds a lot more like a yad mochiach, meaning now it's really clear what he meant. So where does Shmuel stand on the issue of yad? Yad mochiach, according to everybody, works. A yad she'ein mochiach, machlokas. It sounds like Shmuel is of the position that a yad she'ein mochiach, an ambiguous yad, simply will not work. So Amre b'zman shenazir over lefanav leikel esfuke b'milse achrine. Avavada inazir over lefanav amrina dilma ehe betan is kamar. So the Gemara says like this. Maybe not. Maybe when the nazir walks in front of you, so over here, you're given enough information. But when there's no nazir in front of you, it's zero information. Meaning, basically, what the Gemara is saying is like this. Meaning, I don't know where Shmuel stands regarding a Yad She'en Mochiach. Not sure. But what I do know, however, is that if I don't have a Nazir walking in front of you, it's not a Yad at all. Meaning, it won't even constitute a Yad She'en Mochiach. Meaning that, basically, the difference between a Nazir walking in front of you and a Nazir not walking in front of you is basically we're at the two extremes. If there's no Nazir in front of you and I say the word Ahei, it's zero. If I say the word Ahei with a Nazir walking in front of us, it's a Yad HaMochiach. Where does Shmuel take us regarding Yad She'en Mochiach? We don't know. So the Gemara says, well, maybe like this. Maybe when he says the word Ahei, I will be, maybe all he was saying was, you see that Nazir in front of me? He's going to finish his Nazirus. And when I say I will be, what he's actually doing is taking upon himself the financial liability of Karbanos. Meaning, maybe what he meant was, I want to sponsor his Karbanos. So, the Kamar Belibo. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, that's not what he meant. What he meant was, is I'm going to become a Nazir. So we have Chimayla Meimra. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's true, where basically he says the word Ahei, and he wants to become a Nazir, so what's the Chiddush? The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. So Kamash Malan. Meaning that although he committed in his heart that he wants to become a Nazir, but there must be articulation. Right? There must be enough articulation where we understand what his intent was. Again, this is a basic rule when it comes to Nadarim. We saw this back in Masechta Nadarim so many times over again. Piv libo shavin. You need agreement between that which you express and that which you think. So there has to be expression, and there has to be a thought that complements the expression. And they have to be in agreement with one another. What Shmuel's telling us, is teaching us, is the following. That when you see a Nazir walking in front of you, and you utter the word Ehei, so you have enough expression, together with, obviously, your intent of, you want to become a Nazir, under those circumstances, we can now say that we have agreement. We have agreement between the expression and that which you thought, and now it's enough expression where it serves as a yad, and now you're in fact going to become a nazir. Okay, good. Adkan. Okay, it takes us to the end. I know there's a little bit more to go. We'll start with the noy mitzvah tomorrow. Okay, it's really a new sugya, and we'll begin it tomorrow. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, we opened up Masechta Nazir. I gave a brief introduction at the beginning of the Masechta regarding just the general Masechta, a little bit regarding Mefarshei HaGemara, a quick word about Rashi. But anyway, we opened up the Masechta over here. And what we found is a lot of Chazara, right? Everything we saw in the beginning of Masechta Nadarim brought over here Nazir in a much more consolidated form. We opened up our Mishnah with an introduction to accepting upon yourself to become a Nazir. What is the minimum amount needed to be said in order for you to become a Nazir? What qualifies as a verbal declaration of acceptance? Either it's going to be a kinui or a yad. A kinui is basically a manufactured word used instead of saying the word Nazir. Or it's going to be a yad, a partial sentence, which can be completed so that you're going to become a Nazir. Our Mishnah's heading is, I'm going to give you examples of kinuyim. There's also another header which you don't see in the Mishnah of, I'm going to give you examples of yados as well. And then as far as actual examples are concerned, first examples of yados, then examples of kinuyim. Good. The Gemara's discussion, number one. Why is it that this is brought over here in Seder Nashim? Right? It really fundamentally should be brought in Seder Kachim. It's much to do about Karbanos as much as it has to do with accepting upon yourself certain abstentions. So why is it over here? The Gemara's answer is because it is wife-related. How is it wife-related? Because many a divorce is going to be broken by niyuf, by adultery. Adultery is usually caused by wine. When you see an adulteress, an adulterer, so what you need to do is that you need to react. And a proper reaction would be an abstention from wine. And on top of that, a proper reaction would be, I'm going to become a Nazir. And again, it gets us to a very fundamental question, which we really didn't discuss. I did raise it today in terms of whether becoming a Nazir is a good thing or a bad thing. Okay, but meanwhile, there is a connection between Nazirus and Seder Nashim. Good. That was number one. Number two, is going to be the format of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah formatted is header, followed by a second header, and then examples. But specifically, the format of our Mishnah is AB, BA. So what is proper formatting of a Mishnah in terms of headers and examples? Is it ABBA or is it ABAB? The answer is they're both right. And the Mishnayos throughout Shas employ both. And we quoted four different prakim in Shabbos where we saw the format. However, as we also noted this morning, the format's not always the same. Sometimes it's ABBA, sometimes it's ABAB. Okay, so why is it that it goes in those formats? In the Darim, we didn't get much of an explanation. Over here in Nazir, we got a little more explanation. When we're talking about Shabbos as it relates to you, so what we want to do first is express the Isurim, because obviously by Shabbos it's more Chamor. When we're talking about your animals resting on Shabbos, it's not as Chamor, and so therefore the examples are going to be first the Heterim. As far as Nachla is concerned, that Perek and Baba Basra, so we want to go over the principal example of inheritance. Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin. Over here, how come, as far as headers are concerned, first we did Kinui, then we did Yad. But as far as examples, we went straight to Yad. We did ABBA in our Masechta. The answer is that Yados are learned via Drasha. And since they're learned via Drasha, more Chavim, the more beloved. That was our second big discussion for today. And our third big discussion today was Yadayim She'ein Mochichos. An incomplete sentence that not everyone knows how to complete. Meaning it is not self-evident what you meant. And so therefore, it's an incomplete sentence with ambiguity. So does that serve as a yad, yes or no? It's a machlokas. Where does Shmuel stand on that issue? That's what we deliberated as the third part of today's daf. So it could be understood because in our Mishnah, we had the word ahay. By itself, it is an unbelievably incomplete sentence. I will be. How in the world do we know I will be means I will be an azir? So the Gemara says, quoting Shmuel, that there was a Nazir walking in front of the individual. Nazir walking in front of the individual, that's a Yad Mochiach. That's a self-evident, incomplete sentence. Oh, so that leads me to think that if it's a not self-evident, if it's an ambiguous, incomplete sentence, Shmuel would be of the position that a Yad Shei Mochiach is simply not going to be considered a Yad. Isn't that right? The Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe not. Maybe we know exactly where Shmuel stands on a Yad Mochiach. Maybe we know where he stands if it's zero. But if a Yad Shei Mochiach, it could be that we were just simply not discussing or litigating that very scenario. Good. That pretty much got us to the end of today's daf. Okay. Tomorrow, obviously, we continue discussing the Mishnah. Okay. Icon. We're going to pause over here. Very interesting, by the way. In other words, our first sugya. Usually, right, Ben makes this observation to me a number of occasions, and that is that usually the first sugya of every Masechta is really long. Already tomorrow, we're starting the next Mishnah. Well, I assume tomorrow we're going to get up to the next Mishnah. But anyway, first sugya is not so long.